Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. Just a reminder about our quiz. We're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Whodunit quiz. A great prize, weekend away, a spa break indeed, to Dunboyne Castle Hotel. And our qualifying question today on this Monday afternoon, Harry Potter star, or even which Harry Potter star, won his first Tony Award last night? Daniel Radcliffe or Daniel Radmountain? 0818715925. That's 0818715925. Now, I have a beautiful book in front of me and the author, both book and author. The Open Gardens of Ireland by Shirley Lanigan. It's the most comprehensive guide ever to the Gardens of Ireland. Good afternoon, Shirley, and congratulations.
Good afternoon, Ray. Thank you.
You don't need to do that. We've very good microphones here.
Oh, very good. Yes, yes.
You can sit in, but not right up. There,
okay.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect.
That's now. Here on, thumbs up from outside. Everything's fine.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, is this the fourth edition sort of thing?
Or yes. I've been doing it since the first one came out in 2001, just in time for Foot and Mouth when the whole country closed down, and I've been at it since then.
Right. Is there about 400? I started counting them. And
In this one, there are 376.
Right, okay.
The last one, there were 420. But they go up and down all the time, okay, because the gardens come and go.
What does the garden have to do to qualify for your book?
It's got to open to the public for any small amount of time during the year. So
right,
so long as it can be visited by the public, it's in there.
And it's all 32 counties.
It's all 32 counties.
That's a lot of gardens.
It's a lot of gardens and a lot of driving.
Yes. And some of them are free and some of them are view by appointment and some of them are ones that everybody know.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everything is in there.
And why did you start then over 20 years ago doing this?
I'm nosy and I like gardens and it was a good excuse. And I always did love driving along a road and you'd see a handmade sign pointing down, garden open this afternoon. And I would follow that and I became addicted to it. And then you'd come across signs up in garden centres or on the notice board in the supermarket, garden opening at the weekend in aid of the Wheelchair Association or whatever. And I'd go along and it's very addictive.
Tell me, before we talk about the gardens, tell me about the gardeners, the people who own these, because a lot of these are privately owned, just attached to a house. Are they?
Yeah, they're amazing people because they do what the rest of us would not do, which is allow the nosy public in to look at what they've done and pick holes in it and be critical. I think they're amazing people because they're sharing their passion and they're letting you come in the hope that you like it. Now, I always do love them.
Yes.
But it's very generous.
So they're sharing their passion as opposed to showing off.
Oh, they're not showing off at all. I wouldn't call it showing off because they put themselves through such grief, like particularly the places that only open occasionally. They'll get all belonging to them to come and bake cakes
do tray bakes
and all that sort of thing. And they're usually raising money for cancer or the Wheelchair Association or the GAA Club or whatever.
And it strikes me those ones in particular, they're all labours of love.
They're all labours of love. Yeah. And they've got everybody growing seeds on for them. So because everybody, when you go to visit a garden, you want to bring a plant home. So when they open the gardens, invariably there'll be things in yogurt pots and all sorts of lovely little treats that you won't know what they are until they grow and you can buy them and bring them home. It's great.
By reading, like I haven't read all of the 370 odd ones, but I've read a good few of them. And I was looking at the one, we've spoken to that man, he's a Chelsea gold medal winner down in Kerry with the Ferns.
Yes,
Kells.
Billy Alexander.
Bay. Yes.
And he's some man.
And they have the biggest collection of ferns in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yes. It's incredible down there. And because it's so damp and moist, you almost feel like you are in a jungle or a rainforest.
Is it a temperate rainforest?
Yes, it's not far off it. It's always wet. It's always raining, but it's always warm and it's always gorgeous.
And is there a rope bridge?
Yes, there is.
Right.
And I got the last time I visited, they were building the rope bridge and it was like, will I ever get to go? I got to go the last time. And it's both terrifying and exhilarating. It's like being in a Tarzan film because you're up in the trees And there's very little between you and the rocky yeah. stream below. Just those ropes. And you really take your time, go very slowly. But it's brilliant. It's really great.
So he has the biggest collection of ferns in the Northern Hemisphere. And then there's somewhere else. Is it Congreve Gardens has the biggest collection of something else in the world, is it?
Oh, Mount Congreve. I mean, they have their acers. Like, you know, they plant them in 100s. The camellias in 100s. The magnolias in 100s. The rhododendrons in 100s. It's the most incredible collection of plants. And apparently years ago, they had more gardeners there than the Queen of England had in her gardens.
Right. Yeah. And his name was...
Ambrose Congreve. And the man died, I think he was aged 104 on his way to the Chelsea Flower Show. I mean, you couldn't make it up.
It's odd because I was watching that documentary last year. It was about the Blue Zones. You know, these are the areas in the world where they have the most centenarians. So the highest percentage of the population live over 100. Anyway, one of the common things in all the Blue Zones was gardening.
Yes. Yeah, gardeners don't get as wrinkly as everybody else.
And you're doing a workout there and you don't even know it.
You're doing a workout. Yeah. It's a gym for free.
Yes.
And it's there every day.
And you're out in the open, outside.
Yes.
And obviously the lovely psychological boost you get from seeing things grow must help as well.
Oh, it's good for you. I mean, whether you're working in it or whether you're just visiting, it just does you good to be outside. I mean, you tend to, if you're working, I always feel, you know, if you stick that spade in the ground, you know, you get an awful lot off your chest and you can argue with the person who you didn't argue with and you can tell them what was what. And by the time you're finished digging, you're relaxed and it's all calm.
Yeah.
And then for visiting,
Let's talk about some of the little hidden gems then that you can recommend to people. Because people are out there, and I know myself, you're on holidays and you're on a staycation and there might be a dull enough day, so you're not going to go to the beach, or you might be driving here, there and everywhere and you're looking for something to do of a Tuesday afternoon that's slightly overcast. You know, and this is the book for you, The Open Gardens of Ireland. So hidden gems then, little gems.
Oh, hidden gems. There are so many of them. One I'm thinking of at the moment is it only opened this year, really. And it's called Knock House Garden. And it's a woman called Christine Linehan. And it's near Coachford. And it's just magnificent. And what I
down
thought
in Cork.
Was, yes. Yeah. Now, I thought it was hilarious because Christine felt, oh, I don't think it's good enough for people to visit yet. And you went in and there was nothing there that wasn't magnificent. And I just thought, how much more perfect can she make it? But she's still working hard to make it better. And a lot of the gardeners are like that.
Yeah. So that's in the Lee Valley, isn't it? The coach was in the Lee Valley.
The air code is there. Yeah. And a lot of these gardens.
How much mileage did you do?
Oh, thousands. Thousands, yeah. Thousands. Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to do a couple of gardens in a day, did you?
You've got to. In order to, you see, I try to start visiting in the beginning of March, and I visit solidly up until the end of October, sliding into November if I'm stuck. Yeah. And you really have to go and visit about 5 a day, because if you don't, you just won't get them all visited. And if you do it over 2 years, they're almost out of date by the time you get the thing written up. So yeah. You've really got to move at 100 miles an hour.
Well, are you like one of those Michelin star judges when they see you coming, they're sort of fretting? No or
I
yes?
I know, I think they think I'm soft.
Oh, do they? Soft as in you're going to give them a good review?
Well, I'm enthusiastic. Yeah. I don't mind if I see weeds. And in fact, these days I'm happier when I see weeds.
There's the thing. There's the change, isn't it? No more May and biodiversity and all that. So are you seeing that reflected in the gardens you're visiting?
It's incredible. I cannot get over how much more diversity we have welcomed in, even since the last book, which was 2017. Everywhere now. People are leaving some area of their garden go a bit wild. They're planting a lot more natives. They're not spraying as much. Some people have stopped spraying altogether and they've stopped every sort of chemical in the garden. And to be honest with you, they look just as good as they did when they were spraying everything.
And are they generous with their time and advice?
Oh, they are. They really are. I feel sorry sometimes for the private gardeners because, you know, when it's just one man or one woman or a couple, you know, every hour they need to do the work. Yet when people come around visiting, they end up, they're stopping, they're chatting for half an hour, they're swapping, they're giving seeds, they're giving cuttings, and they give up so much of their time as well as showing the place. But I also love the big gardens like the OPW. I always think of the walled kitchen garden up in the Phoenix Park. You know, you'll go along and there'll be two gardeners and they'll be digging away in one of the beds. And if you stop and ask them, they'll always give you some sort of an interesting answer, useful piece of information. And you come away and you feel you've had a bit of an education. I know now what to do when I'm growing pumpkins next year.
And is it Dunmore County Country School, are they all edibles? One of the gardens that now, everything's edible.
That's one of them. No. That's Tanguy de Toulgouet.
Right.
And he's a fabulous Frenchman and his wife, Isabel. And they run the Dunmore Country School, where they grow beautiful vegetables. Most everything is edible in the garden. And you can even take a course in French. So you can learn how to grow vegetables and fruit in French if you want to. And the garden is so beautiful. But there's another one, and it's also edibles, and it's called the Garden of Reimagination. And it's just outside Glengariff. And it's a young couple called Chloe and Adam. And they're just doing amazing foraging courses and showing you how to basically eat everything that they grow in the garden. So I suppose between Tongi at the Dunmore School and the Garden of the Reimagination, between them, almost everything they grow is edible.
Isn't that a beautiful name, the Garden of Reimagination?
Isn't it?
It does sound like something. I have to play this again now, just where you said it.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination.
It does sound like something out of that, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does.
And it's encouraging that they're young, isn't it?
Yes. I love seeing the young gardeners. And Chloe and Adam are, I would consider them babies, but boy, do they know their business. And there are babies like that all over the country. I mean, like, Paul Smith, who's taken over the running of the RHSI Belfield Garden. He's a baby now. He probably considered himself very old, but I would say he's a fabulously talented Jimmy Blake is a baby. There's a brand new young gardener called William Ford, and he's got his own little garden up in Mayo. It's called Reek Bay, and it's on the wildest, roughest spot of land, and he's growing beautiful flowers. And it's everywhere you're coming across these wonderful gardens run by, as I would say, babies and lads and lassies.
Making a living out of it?
Most of them aren't doing it to make a living.
No.
Most of them are doing it because they love it. Now, in the case of people like Jimmy Blake, Hunting Brook is his livelihood.
Yes.
And a lot of the really young, talented gardeners who are running the OPW gardens, it's their living also. But a lot of the time, it's literally, this is the thing that the person does when they come home from work.
And we have a history of walled gardens in the country. Is that because of the English back in the day?
Yes, yeah. The walled garden, it always came attached onto
a big house.
Large country house.
Yes, yeah.
And we've got walled gardens that don't have the house there anymore. My favourite one is in Santry, and it's the Santry Community Garden. And it's you know, the big Santry demesne beside Morton Stadium. So you've got the lovely park and the trees and the walks, and again, lots of nice wild grass growing there. But in the middle of it all, this fabulous red brick, huge walled garden. And when I arrived to see it, the gate was locked and I was so annoyed, and I was trying to peer in and stick. I nearly got my head stuck in the grating. But a woman came along and she told me all about it. And it's run by a community group. And I think it costs each of them something like they charge each other €20 a year. And for that, you go in, you join, you help grow the flowers, you help grow the fruit.
And it's not allotments. It's different to allotments.
No, it's different to allotments.
Okay.
They're running it as a proper walled garden.
Yeah.
And then they share out the produce whenever harvest time comes. It's a beautiful operation.
Yes.
I'd love to see it happening in some of the, you know, the walled gardens around the country that are lying empty, because it's one of the most, beautiful projects I've ever come across.
And then there's that one down in Valentia Island. That's a microclimate down there, isn't it?
Oh, there's a microclimate down there, yeah. I mean, they get rain like we think it rains up here.
What's the name of it? It's a B&B down at the end of the island. Is it Glanleam?
Glanleam.
Yes.
And Glanleam is one of the very oldest gardens, and it's wild and woolly. There are amazing tree ferns and myrtles and all sorts of exotic trees, and it's really very beautiful and very wild. But there's a whole series of those beautiful sort of semi-exotic gardens down around there. Doreen is another one. Doreen is near Laura, I'm not sure. And as I said, Kells Bay.
Yeah.
And then Derrynane, they have magnificent tree ferns there as well. And again, you just feel the air is warm and damp. You nearly need to wring your clothes out when you get back in the car. But they're just full of plants that won't grow very successfully anywhere else in the country. Like every so often, I'll bring a baby tree fern home, and it just doesn't like living
Hoping
in Kilkenny.
Hoping you can recreate.
Yeah, and it doesn't work. Yeah. You're living in the cold Midlands.
Of course, the Japanese gardens in Kildare is there. Yeah, I proudly snuck over the wall when I was a kid, didn't pay. I'm not condoning that sort of behaviour, but when you're nine, that's an adventure.
But it's the garden that I had 9-year-old boys, they might have been 8, actually tell me how amazing it was when they went on their school tour to the Japanese garden in Tully.
When you're nine, it's amazing.
Yeah, because it's magical.
There's caves, there's little walkways with
on
stones.
The water,
it's.
And then there's another fabulous one, Lafcadio Hearn's Japanese Garden
I've been
down
there.
In
that
Waterford.
That is amazing as well. That's amazing too.
Now, and that was made on the roughest bit of old hilly land in the middle of the town that
in
they
Tremor,
weren't able to do
yes.
anything else for. Yeah, Tremor has done some wonderful work. The Lafcadio Hearn Garden, I adore it.
And that's like people be surprised because they're on the beach, they're having their fish and chips, and they're just 100 metres up the road, there's this beautiful little oasis.
Yeah, so if it's raining, you can go up there.
Yeah.
And if it gets too hot and you don't want to get sunburned, you'll have shade there under the trees. Yeah.
So that's one of the 370-odd gardens listed in the Open Gardens of Ireland by Shirley Lanigan, which is in good bookshops now. The most comprehensive guide ever to the Gardens of Ireland. Nobody's going to dispute that with you, Shirley.
I hope not.
You have the miles on your car.
I do.
Mileometer to prove
it.
Listen, congratulations. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.